Welcome to Lime Loops Behind the Green podcast, where we get the inside scoop on all things sustainability and talk to people prioritizing and building a greener tomorrow. I'm your host, Rebecca Smith, and today I'm joined by Mia Davis, VP of Sustainability and Impact at Credo Beauty, which is the largest clean products-only beauty retailer. She created the Credo Clean Standard, including the Sustainable Packaging Guidelines, Retail's Strongest Clean Formula and Packaging Standards. Mia is also the co-founder of Pact Collective, which is a nonprofit membership organization to start to make a dent in hard to recycle beauty waste and to bring beauty stakeholders together to move towards circularity. She was one of the first hires at Beauty Counter and prior to that co-led nonprofit environmental health campaigns. Today, Mia and I will discuss how we've gotten to such a wasteful place in the packaging industry, especially within beauty and cosmetics. But that doesn't mean that we can't get out of it. With the right solutions, more education, and more impactful change, retailers and consumers alike can make smarter decisions when it comes to choosing packaging that puts the environment first and how to discard of beauty products in a safer and cleaner way. And Mia digs into a big focus this year, obsolete inventory. Let's dive right in. Well, thanks, Mia. Thanks for joining us today. Would love if you could give a really quick introduction of yourself.
Yes, thanks for having me. So my name is Mia Davis. I'm the VP of Sustainability and Impact at Credo Beauty, which is the largest clean beauty retailer. And I'm also the co-founder of Pact Collective, which is a nonprofit organization with the mission to end packaging waste for the beauty industry, least waste to landfill. And we are doing that in a few different ways that we'll talk about today.
Awesome. Love it. Thank you for that. I'm excited to have you here. So let's just dive right into some of these questions then. Let's start with a problem that we can all relate with. And you, of course, have a lot of experience here, packaging waste. What makes up most of the packaging waste out there? And how much does packaging waste really make up of all that waste that's out there?
Yes, a lot is the short answer. So there's a bunch of different figures out there, and all of them honestly are pretty astounding. But we know that there are hundreds of millions of tons of plastic that are produced annually worldwide. One of the figures that I have is about 300 million tons of plastic produced every single year. And half of that is for single use items. So things that we will use once and done, like think cutlery, think takeout. In the beauty industry, we tend to think of like shampoo bottles and lotion bottles, not as single use. We call those more like multi-use. So they're not durable items. They're usually not refillable or meant to be here for a long time, but they're a little better than single use. There are still single use packaging materials made in the beauty industry, of course. But anyway, about half of 300 million tons of plastic is single use. So it's going to be used for minutes, maybe, and then it might be on the planet for hundreds of years, well beyond our time. And that figure of 150 million tons is really hard to wrap your head around, but it's about as much as the weight of all of the human beings on the planet. And this is annually, we're making this much single waste plastic.
Wow.
So clearly this is a huge problem, and we really need to be reducing this astronomical number.
Yeah, I mean, when you put it in perspective that way too, of taking it from a number to making it something a little more tangible, like humans on the earth, that really, really puts that in perspective. And it's interesting too. I'm in the Denver area, and one of the rules that just, or I guess changes that they're doing in terms of regulation is that, and this isn't necessarily plastic, I'm thinking about compostables, but they just came out saying that individual like single use, like cutlery and takeout boxes and like cups, like coffee cups, those used to be compostable, and they've just now said, hey, you can't do that. And I'm like, okay, well now we're going to have even more single use items that are going to get into landfills when we can't compost them anymore. Like, I don't understand.
Well, I think that change is actually a very positive, because it wasn't happening anyway.
Okay.
So now we're just telling the truth about what wasn't happening, which is extremely important so that customers aren't lulled into this idea that something is happening with that waste that isn't really happening. So I applaud that decision, actually. So it's not that they are like, hey, we're not going to take this anymore. It was already a problem. And the reason that compostable cutlery, et cetera, is a problem is that it takes so much more energy to break down that plastic, that supposedly compostable plastic, than it does to break down food waste or yard waste. So it's a lot more heat, more energy intensive, which of course has a climate impact, but it also has a cost impact for the composters. But there's zero added value to their compost at the end. So they run into all these issues ahead of, like, as soon as they get the stuff, it's harder to sort through. Their machinery wasn't necessarily designed with forks in mind, right? So now they have to deal with that. They have to turn up the heat. It takes longer. It takes more energy. And then they're still left with a compost product that doesn't, we didn't add any value to that. If anything, it's actually a real detractor. So I think that unless we are setting up systems that are equipped to handle that. So ideally, if you want to, if you're in the business of manufacturing compostable cutlery or any other sort of compostable single use item, you need to be working on a take back model. You need to be working on, okay, so where is the end market? What is the end of life for this product? It shouldn't be just that. This is a really strong parallel with recycling, which we should talk about. It shouldn't be like, oh, I made this thing that's theoretically recyclable. I made this thing that's theoretically compostable. Oh, it's not happening in actuality. Well, that's not my problem. Yeah, of course that's your problem. It's absolutely your problem. And that's what I think. Not to say that everyone who's manufacturing compostable packaging or cutlery doesn't care or is like out to ruin the system. I don't mean to like kind of have that like that laugh of like, of course that's your problem. Some of them care a lot and are talking to the composters and are participating in conversations around extended producer responsibility. So there are some great actors in the space, and there are others that are just doing what we've done with like basically all industrialization, which is kick the can down the road. I made this thing, I put it in the market, now it's not my problem.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good point about changing kind of, or reframing, I guess, the way we think about this, right? Because that is something that we are as humans just really inclined to do. It's like, hey, we've done this for so long in this way, so let's just keep doing it. Why change it and why break the system? But really that's what we need to do when we think about this, because we've set up a system that's just not going to work long-term. And when we think about the future, right, we need to break it and fix it and adjust as we go. So that's a really, I'm glad, I like that. That's good. This is a good reminder too, that always bring your reusable cups with you.
Always bring them to the coffee shop. I feel so strongly about that. I mean, it's really back to basics. It's about wherever we possibly can, reducing the need for that item in the first place. So whether it's you asking yourself, do I really need to buy this cosmetic product? I get that it's cool. I still want beauty to be fun for people and exploratory, but like, do I need this thing, even though I'm being sold this item and being told that I need it? Do I really need that cup of coffee? And I have a cup of coffee right here. I like coffee. So if the answer is yes, go get your coffee, but bring your reusable cup. It's like so easy once you get in the habit of it, you know?
Yep. Just changing that habit. Yep. So true. I want to jump to then to talk about, you started bringing it up about recycling, but obviously, like you just said, the beauty industry there's quite a bit there that ends up getting tossed because everything in the beauty industry, for the most part, right, a lot of it is this big. There's a lot of small items. And so I want you to talk a little bit, if you can, just about what can be recycled and if it can't be, because I look at some of the glass containers that I have and I look at some of the plastic containers with my beauty products and they're not all recyclable. So talk to us a little bit about those solutions.
Yes. So the vast majority of the containers that are made for the beauty industry are tiny. You kind of indicated this with your hand. So if a package is smaller than a yogurt cup or an avocado or a kid's fist, it's basically, if it's smaller than 2 inches on more than one side, there's a really good chance that it will not be recycled because of a few different reasons. One is how the equipment was designed at the material recovery facility. These are called MRFs, MRF. MRFs weren't designed to handle really small packaging, like caps, pumps, anything that's like oddly shaped or small, highly unlikely to be recycled. Another reason that things are often not recycled in our industry and beauty is because they're often contaminated, which means that they still have goop in them. So when you're told to like rinse out or clean out your package, that's real. Like if you put something in the recycling bin and it has a bunch of dredged like goop in it,
it won't be recycled, and it's just going to contaminate the system, and it just kind of gunks everything up. So really do need to wipe out or rinse out all of your containers. Another reason a lot of our stuff isn't recycled is that it's made out of mixed materials, meaning different types of plastic resins. You've seen in the recycling arrows, the chasing arrows, or in the triangle. I'm sure you've seen the resin codes numbers 1 through 7 on plastic. Unfortunately, in beauty, a lot of them aren't even labeled, which is crazy and needs to change. But certainly in food packaging, it's really common to see those resin codes. So plastic resins number 1, 2, and sometimes 5 have end markets and can be recycled. The others don't, like highly unlikely that they will be recycled at the MRF. They require a specialty program, and even then, maybe not, because there's just no buyers. There's just nobody who, it doesn't have value anymore. It's trash. Most plastic is trash. Nobody wants it. Especially if the package is like a squeezable tube, like a toothpaste tube or a hand cream tube. A lot of the time, those are not mono material, meaning one type of plastic, but different plastics in different layers. And because of they're flexible, and there's probably goop in them, and they're different layers, not going to be recycled. I'll give you one more example of a challenge would be a plastic package that has been like highly metallized, like foil embossing or debossing, or like a cap. That's like when you unscrew the cap, you can see on the inside that the threads are plastic, but the outside is made to look like metal, or is sometimes a thin metal shell. Those can't be separated apart. So even though metal has a great recycling rate, it's not broken apart, and therefore the whole cap is going to be trash. So glass and metal have an excellent, and paper all have excellent recycling rates. Those are the materials that we should be using more often than plastic. Plastic has pretty crappy recycling rates. And then it really depends, because plastic is such a huge category. We talk about quote plastic, but really plastic number one is a very different conversation than plastic number 7. So within that, and within the packaging types and the formats and all of that, and also where you are located to some extent, all of these variables really influence whether or not that package has a chance of being recycled through the MRF. So enter PACT, right? You asked about, PACT Collective and what we're doing at our nonprofit. And we're doing two big things that are related, of course. One is we are working to get beauty industry stakeholders together so that we can stop talking in silos or not talking to each other at all, so that we can design much more sustainable packaging in the first place. And this harkens back to your comment on the compost that we got talking about. It's like, the right hand isn't talking to the left, or like in the value chain, folks are not talking to each other. And sometimes that's really intentional and willful. And other times it's not. It's like a packaging supplier may believe that maybe a thing will be recycled, but the marketing team will throw a green leaf on that thing. They'll sell that packaging to a beauty brand that really thought they were doing the right thing, and that there's no chance that thing will be recycled. So sometimes, you know, it can be a game of telephone. There's a lot of different factors at play. We need to get everyone together, and we need to stop enabling greenwashing or committing greenwashing. We need to speak the same language so that we can design smarter stuff in the first place. So that's number one. And number two, while we work on that, because that's a bit of a longer haul, right? Number two is that we're collecting hard to recycle packaging for our industry and sorting it manually. It has to meet our guidelines at PACT. We have very strong guidelines we can talk about if you want. And then we will find the highest and best use for that material. So whenever possible, we'll mechanically recycle it. We find end buyers for it.
Yeah.
And when we can't, we will chemically recycle or go waste to energy. But we're super honest about that. We don't call that recycling. We call that better than landfill. We call that better than pollution, you know? It's going to go somewhere. Don't kill the messenger. But the really important piece of this is that we're telling people where it's going so that we don't continue to make the same bad design decisions, bad engineering decisions, and pretending like consumption doesn't matter and it's all going to be okay, because it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, I love too how honest you are about it's better than landfill, right? Because it is so, so easy to say that we're recycling something when we are not. that's not in fact what we're doing. So I like that you phrase it that way. I would love to hear about the guidelines that you have, because I think that's a really good kind of indication too for what manufacturers and what other beauty brands can think about as they start making adjustments to their manufacturing process and what they really should be looking for.
Sure. So the reason that we have strong guidelines about what we will take in a packed bin, for example, packed bin at a Credo store, where we have 155 members now, which is really exciting. And we're available in well over 100. I think it's closer to 200 locations today. And it's about to be many, many more because we piloted with Sephora and now we're going big with Sephora, and Ulta just signed on to Pact. So it's fantastic how many
awesome
in-store bins there will be for customers to return their hard to recycle stuff to. So here is what you bring to pack versus not. If the package is likely to be recycled in a curbside system, that's totally where it should go. It's inefficient to bring it to pack to ship it around, to ship it to our recycling facilities when it can be done there. It's obviously a carbon nightmare to be shipping garbage around the country if we don't have
right.
to. So when it can be recycled curbside, that's where it should go. If there's very little chance that Pact will be able to do anything with it, just throw it in the trash. Because again, why ship it to us? There's this phenomenon called wish cycling, which is where you like throw something in the curbside in the recycling because you hope it will be recycled, but you're not really sure. It's actually better, honestly, to throw it in the trash if you think that there's no chance, because it gums up the system. Again, lack of efficiency is a big part of this problem. And as a little sidebar, no plastic bags in the garbage. Or, I'm sorry, in the recycling. So like, don't,
right.
For folks who are listening, I used to do this a while back before I knew better. And it's like, oh crap, man, when you think about trying to do the right thing by recycling and putting your recyclables in like a trash bag and then throwing the trash bag in the recycling, they throw it out because the bags end up getting caught in the machinery, and then they have to go untie them. They have to stop the whole line. It's actually really dangerous. So no bags, they're never recyclable at the MRF. Anyway, that was my side PSA, because some people don't know.
It's good.
They're trying really hard to do the right thing, unintentionally gumming it up. So if it can be,
it's a great reminder.
Yeah, good. Right. So like, if it's unlikely to be recycled, just toss it in the trash. Now, the things that Pact will take has to be clean and empty. No goop in the package. We will take back. So you could walk into a Credo store or another location with your clean and empty. Like smaller than a yogurt cup containers. We talked about that. Caps, especially, like we can take caps. The MRF cannot take caps. Pumps are still tricky, but we'll take them if they're really empty. So pump out every little last bit of goop. Even tubes we'll take. If they're mixed materials, we won't be able to do much with them either. They're going to be chemically recycled or go waste to energy. Anyway, all the things that we have identified at pactcollective.org, if you go down to the bottom of, scroll all the way down to the footer, you'll see our guidelines.
Well, that's perfect. I mean, separate from just wanting to recycle and like dispose of these products in the best way, like I also want to just pump it all the way out anyway, because I want to get my money's worth, right? Too.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So it's like, it's a good reminder on that one just alone. Yeah. Cool. So you mentioned Sephora, you mentioned Ulta. That's super exciting. Are there some other examples of brands maybe that aren't working with Pact too that are doing a really good job at not greenwashing and also making sure, right, that they're really prioritizing recycling and being smart and healthy, I guess, in the beauty industry with recycling?
Yep. So the Pact was co-founded by Credo and Mob. So my co-founder, Victor Caselli, is the founder of Mob. And he used to be at Mac, and he started the first take back program at the Back to Mac. So that was really cool. He has a legacy of doing this. And the packaging for his new company, Mob, is so cool. It's all refillable system, which I love. And it's like smart refillable and cool. I actually have one right here, totally coincidentally, but it's just like back capsule lip balm, and then the insert of the lip balm you can pull out, You can send that back to pack or throw it away and keep your external piece. And it's how much lipstick you would get or lip balm in another product, but you'd have to chuck the whole thing. And it would definitely be trash because almost all of the, you know, lip balms and lipstick products are made out of multiple materials and they're way too small. So they would fall through the cracks. So Mob is an example of a company that's really doing a great job. There are a few companies that are starting to think more about designing for refill, which I think is absolutely the way that we need to be moving this industry. You know, PACT is running this hard to recycle collection program, but not because we think that that's scalable, like ultimately, like, I mean, we're going to scale, but it's not the answer. What we need to be doing is going back to what I said, the first part of our strategy is to achieve our mission, which is getting everybody together to speak a common language and to unite around creating much more sustainable packaging in the first place. So reduced material footprint, more refill, more recycled content, and designed for recyclability.
Yeah. That's a great lead into on what can consumers really do too, because there's a lot that needs to happen on that retailer manufacturer side to make sure that we're producing the right, or we're producing packaging that's in these right materials that are going to create that long lasting change. But for consumers right now, what are things that we should be looking for when we're buying products from these brands? And like, what can we do differently to make a good impact here?
I think that one of the biggest things the customers can do is to vote with their dollars, but also use their voice to say that they want more sustainable packaging and just, you know, cleaner formulas, more transparency, more traceability, but definitely more sustainable packaging. So if we can be trying, like, especially if you're the type of beauty customer that likes to try new things, make it a priority to try those brands that are making refillable formats. Try them first and don't try the rest and then let them know. I hear a lot, you know, it's interesting because like beauty editors and journalists will call me and ask me a lot about packaging and like trends and like where is sustainable beauty right now and what's up with refills, lots of questions about refills. And then on the other side of the conversations, more kind of in office conversations or with colleagues in the industry, we hear that it's really hard to merchandise refills, that customers think they want them, but they don't really, they're not really like going back for it. And then from customers, we hear like, this isn't sustainable enough. So it's still early days in figuring out exactly how to plan for more sustainable packaging that customers will actually buy and use. Because if they're not interested, really, if they're not buying it, then what's the point? We have to make sure that they're ready to make the switch. So that it's interesting because there's not a ton of data on this and we haven't been doing it long enough to really show historically, like it went like this, this happened, and then we knew that there was greater adoption and now we're here. But I think that it's important that customers use their voice and say what they want. And if you're not going to go for a refillable package for whatever reason, definitely look for plastic that is more likely, or materials that are more likely to be recycled. So glass, metal, paper, then plastic. And for plastic, if it's not going to be recycled, which most of it won't be, higher recycled content. So at least we're still driving the demand.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for joining us today. Also, is there anything else that you really want to leave? You want to end us on with?
Yeah, there's one really important piece of the puzzle that is under discussed, and I really hope that in 2023 I'll have the opportunity to talk a lot more about it. And it's this phenomenon called obsolete inventory or obsolete packaging. And this is packaging that is unsellable, whether it was the brands overbought the packaging or it's returns or the formula separated so they couldn't sell stuff. Brands and retailers and warehouses secretly, quietly dispose of hundreds of thousands of units of obsolete inventory quarterly. And it's usually done by going to landfill or incineration. And so we have all this focus on what is the consumer's responsibility and implying that the customer has to really take responsibility. Everyone has a role to play here. So the customer absolutely has a role to play. However, beauty brands are out there not talking about this and not making the right decisions in terms of sustainability. Pact wants the obsolete inventory. We will take it. We will take the caps off and recycle them, even if there's too much goop in the bottle to recycle it. We will be honest about where it goes, and we will do highest and best use for all the material that we can get. So I really implore all stakeholders to become Pact members and to send obsolete inventory to Pact. And customers that are listening, it's important that we know about this. If you care about sustainability, tell brands and retailers that you give your business to, that you want to see them join Pact and send their obsolete inventory to us, because we're talking a lot of waste and a lot of carbon.
Yeah, that's definitely not something that a lot of people, I think, are thinking about at all. So I think that is a really, really good mission to get to speak more on that this year and educate all of us just on what we can do around that. If somebody wanted to find Pact Collective online, you'd given a URL previously, but can you just share where we can find you? And also, like, if anyone wants to reach out to you on social, can you share some of those as well?
Yeah, so it's pactcollective.org, and we have, again, at the bottom of the page, there's a bin locator, so folks can figure out if there is an in-store bin in their community. That's where you should definitely be taking your hard-to-recycle empties. We also have a mailback program, but again, if you're thinking through sustainability from, you know, end to end, it's not super sustainable to be shipping trash around, so we would much rather you go into a store that has a bin, and you can find, there's a map, you can find all the bins there. And you'll also see the guidelines, and you'll see the members. I mentioned there's about 155 Pact members. So you can see if your favorite brands or retailers have joined as a member. And then just, you know, continue to use your voice, again, vote with your dollars and use your customer voice to tell them that you like what you see or ask for more information. They need to know that you're paying attention, especially on this obsolete inventory. It's quite a well-kept secret, but not for long.
Not for long. Year's the year.
I'm telling everyone.
This year's the year. You put it in the ground right now. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Mia. This has been a pleasure. I will make sure that all the information you shared too is in the show notes, so anyone can find the URL and can find the Pact Collective online and find the bins so that we can discard of our beauty products in the best, most efficient way.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening in to the Lime Loops Behind the Green podcast. If you want to listen to other episodes, visit anchor.fm/the Lime Loop, and we'll see you in here next time.